Welcome, and thank you for joining us on our This Week in State Tax podcast. My name is Harley Duncan, and I'm with the state and local team in KPMG's Washington National Tax Office. Our topic today is the new social media amusement tax, aka the SMAT, that was enacted recently by the Chicago City Council as part of the Windy City's 2026 budget. Our guest is Drew Olson from the Chicago KPMG office. Drew is our State Tax Resource Network specialist for indirect taxes in Illinois and Chicago, and brings over 25 years of state and local tax experience to the table, primarily dealing in Illinois taxes. Welcome back to Twist, Drew. If this were Saturday Night Live, you'd be getting fitted for your host's smoking jacket, as I think this is your third time around the block on this podcast. Thank you for being here to help us walk through this novel tax. A number of states and cities have considered measures similar to the SMAT, but Chicago is the first, as far as I know, to actually adopt a tax of this sort. As the first Mayor Daley famously said, Chicago is the city that works. A characterization that I suspect depends on one's point of view in this case, but nevertheless, let's get started. How about we start with the easy stuff? So what and who is this tax actually imposed on? What's the rate? What's the filing and payment routine to be, Drew? Get us some basics, would you?
Yeah, thanks, Harley. Thanks for having me again. And by the way, I'm a 46 regular when you buy the coat. The SMAT is a tax on social media businesses that gather data and sell data on Chicago consumers. The rate is 50 cents per user per month on users over 100,000 users. So if you have 200,000 Chicago users, and I'm using air quotes that you can't see, in a given month, only 100,000 of those are taxable. The tax is imposed on the business itself and not on the users, and is remitted monthly on the 15th of the month following the month in which the liability was incurred, with an annual reconciliation return that's due for the fiscal year July 1st to June 30th, and that's due on August 15th of each year. This year, it'll just be January through June, because the tax just became effective 1/1/26. And 15th falls on a Saturday, so it'll be Monday, August 17th of this year.
All right. Well, that seems clear enough. But what do we mean by a social media company? Who's subject to the tax and who is not?
Well, this is where it gets a little tricky. Chicago defines a social media business to mean a for-profit entity that A, provides individuals with access to social media, which they define in the section below, and B, collects, maintains, uses, processes, sells, or shares consumer data other than consumer contact information, like an address or a telephone number, in support of the entity's business activities. Chicago then goes on to define a social media business to mean a website, an application, a product, or an internet platform that allows consumers to view, share, are otherwise engaged with images, videos, audio presented in a type and formats, including but not limited to performances, promotion, memes, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, and live stream. Social media does not include, though, any bona fide news website, application, or platform. And we'll talk about it in a little while, but that's one area that gives me some concern, because you get into these mixed use platforms that are hard to tell if they're social media or something else. But I think it's clear that certain platforms that we all use, or maybe other people use, are clearly social media platforms. And none of these are necessarily clients of mine, but like Instagram, YouTube, or Twitter are clearly social media businesses. But there's not much guidance given on the mixed-use platforms.
I thought I also saw in the ordinance that there was a listing of types of companies not considered a social media business.
Yes, and I spoke to the city on this, and we went over different fact patterns, and I can get into that, but generally speaking, the ordinance itself specifically carves out and says that Businesses that are not social media businesses include internet search providers, internet service providers, email services, streaming services such as online video gaming or website where the content is not user generated. And we'll talk about that in a little while too. But includes interactive functions that enable chat, comments, reviews, or other interactive functionality. Communication services, including text, audio, and video communications that our businesses use. An advertising network with the sole function of delivering commercial content. I'm still not sure what that exactly is. Telecommunication carriers, broadband services as defined under Illinois law that have a single purpose for community groups, for education and public safety. And then teleconferencing video servicing, which I assume are like WebEx, Zoom, and Teams. But, and they carve out in both this and in the commercial version of communication tools, except that social media business media includes teleconferencing or video conferencing services provided to a consumer by the social media business. Also carves out cloud computing services or obtaining technical support. So specifically in the ordinance, a streaming service, online video game, or other website where the content is not user-generated, but includes interactive functionalities that enable chat, comments, reviews, or other interactive functionality that is incidental to or not directly related or dependent upon providing the content. I spoke to the city specifically about that and what do they mean, what is incidental, and what is not directly related to content. I asked the city to provide examples. At the time I was speaking to them, I've given a list of questions to contacts of the department, and I'm waiting to hear back to get some examples to help our clients.
So I guess it's probably that there's some that we know clearly are, because we're used to those sorts of entities and descriptions. And there's some that are clearly not. I suspect, as usual, the controversy is all going to revolve around the middle or what's gray and various variations on the theme. So we'll look forward to some further discussion and then what you hear from the city. But moving beyond then, what's the tax on? We all know that Chicago would not tax any activity that doesn't occur in Chicago or people who are not residents of Chicago. So how does the ordinance deal with defining who's a Chicago consumer and therefore a user or a consumer that has to be counted by the social media company versus some itinerant that just is coming in to see what a $35 million per year Alex Bregman looks like in a Cubs uniform?
Well, I spoke to the city here specifically trying to get some clarification. And as you can imagine, the tax was passed by the city council on the 20th. It wasn't until the December 29th where we figured out the mayor wasn't going to exercise his veto rights and the law went into effect on January 1st. So as of today, we're 20 days in. But what I could glean from the ordinance and from my conversation with the department is the tax is imposed upon Chicago residents. And that's what it says in the ordinance. The ordinance states that there shall be a rebuttable presumption that a consumer whose information on record with or available to a social media business indicates a Chicago home address, a Chicago mailing address, or an internet protocol address, or other consumer data or primary uses located within the city. So to me, that means that if I'm traveling through the city and I'm from New York and I happen to be in Chicago on a given day and I check my social media platform, I'm not going to be picked up by that social media platform as a Chicago user unless I have a Chicago address. Now, the reality is most social media businesses, I assume, don't have my Chicago address. At best, they may have an IP address. So I asked that specifically of the department, can I rely on that? And what the city said is that we could use any reasonable means, and an IP address may be reasonable. But I found it interesting that the city ordinance stated specifically that the burden of proving that a consumer is not a Chicago consumer is on the social media business. And the ordinance goes on to say, for administrative ease, a social media business may create a reasonable categorization standards to use in analyzing consumer data to determine if a consumer is a Chicago consumer. Further, it says, however, its reliance on standards does not alleviate the social media business of its burden of proof. So you have to be a Chicago resident And at best, you may have a Chicago IP address, but I mean, I'm talking to you right now in VPN. And my VPN address, I think, is saying somewhere in New Jersey. So if I'm accessing social media from my computer and I live in Chicago, it's going to be somewhere else. So there's not a lot of guidance yet. But the contacts of the city told me is if you're using reasonable means, they'll accept those means. I suspect as time goes on, and if this tax survives constitutional challenges and continues to exist, the city will put out better guidance. Another thing that I thought was interesting too, I asked specifically if I have 10 accounts on one platform, is that 10 times 50 cents or is that one user? And my contact at the time was unclear, but the ordinance is very clear and it says that a Chicago consumer shall only be counted once in the calculation of monthly tax imposed on the social media business, and each month should stand on its own. So if I have 10 accounts on one platform, I'm one user.
I just want to go back one step, or it's actually two steps, and make sure I'm correct on this. Users over 100,000 per month, the rate is 50 cents. I'm going to pay on a monthly basis and then reconcile it up on an annual return for getting the first year. Is that correct?
Yeah, not necessarily for getting the first 6 months of the fiscal year. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, for the month of January 2026, if a social media platform has more than 100,000 users in Chicago, they're subject to the tax. So there's roughly 2.7 million people in Chicago. If I knock out children that should be too young to have a social media account, or people of a certain age that don't want to mess with social media, let's just say there's 2 million potential users. There are some platforms that may have that many users. It's $1 million a month. So it's going to be interesting because I think the mayor's projection for this tax was $31 million. And I think that's way too low. I mean, there's so many social media platforms out there that I think are going to be picked up by this. And another interesting part of this was in order to qualify, you have to have 100,000 users. And what the ordinance says is that a business entity that are part of a controlled group of corporations, as defined by the Internal Revenue Code Section 1563, which I think it just says if you own 80% more of a company, shall be treated as a single entity. So I asked the question, if I represent a client that is a holding company and it has 10 separate media platforms, is that one return or 10 returns? And my contact at the time took it under advisement and declined to answer, is still waiting to get back to me. But that's going to be key for some of our clients that operate multiple platforms. Because if it's one return or 10, and then you counting individuals on each platform that maybe, like I have multiple media, social media accounts. Am I one user for 10 accounts or am I 10 separate users for 10 different platforms? It could really add up quickly.
Well, it's clear that you've been thinking about this. I also think you were looking at me when you said people of a certain age, unlikely to have an account, which you're spot on there, my friend. But you mentioned mixed businesses or that have mixed activities. I know you've been thinking about this. How about, what do you see as really the challenges, the areas that are pretty unclear and how, where taxpayers are going to have difficulty kind of deciding, am I taxable? Am I not taxable? This part of the business not included? That sort of thing. What sort of gray areas are you seeing? And they also mentioned constitutional challenges. What are you hearing in that regard?
I mean, those are great questions. I mean, one of my main concerns is if I have a platform that collects data but doesn't sell it, am I subject to the tax? I asked that question. Again, I didn't get a clear answer, waiting to hear back. And then there are mixed-use platforms. The Instagrams of the world, I think, are going to be pretty easy. But if I'm a mixed-use platform, and I can think of a platform that's out there that is a crafty platform, maybe they sell crafts on the platform and otherwise could be perceived as a marketplace, but individuals can also post their crafts and pictures of their crafts and instructions, and it has a social aspect to it. Is that a marketplace or is that a social media platform? I don't know. And then there are other apps out there that I make hotel reservations, or better yet, restaurant reservations. And after I eat at that restaurant, I could review the restaurant. I could take pictures of the food. I could take pictures of the restaurant. I can make comments. People may follow me to decide what restaurants I go to, where they're going to eat. Is that a platform for making reservations or a social media platform? And then there's platforms out there that are neighborhood focused, where I get information about my neighborhood and safety events that are going on in the neighborhood. And maybe there are videos that come off of cameras, of happenings in the neighborhood. Some of that is content generated by the platform itself, and other is content generated by the users on that platform. Is that incidental or is that dependent? I don't know if that's a social media platform or if it's a news platform or something protecting the neighborhood. So that's where the hard part of this imposition and interpretation of this tax is going to be. In terms of challenges, I haven't heard of any specific businesses challenging. I've heard rumors more in the legal community about the Internet Tax Freedom Act challenges, and that this would run afoul of the U.S. Constitution, the Supremacy Clause. There was a challenge years ago on the amusement tax in Chicago, as the LaBelle case. The courts did rule in favor of the city. So there's that hurdle to get over. But I haven't heard of anything specifically being filed yet. So stay tuned. But I do expect there will be a challenge. Now, will there be an injunction? Don't know.
I hadn't really thought that much, because I don't quite understand it. But of the mixed use, the one I have used is a reservation application, right? And I'm unlikely to take a picture of my food, but I'm going to look at the food as other people have done. And if I recall correctly, it clearly states something to the effect, regardless of whether the user pays to use the platform. Is that correct?
I mean, generally speaking, if the platform is free, you are the product. So if you're not paying for the platform, or if you are paying for the platform, I don't think it matters. I think it matters whether or not they're collecting the data and it meets the criteria of a social media business and a social media platform. And if they're collecting your data, and I think one of the hinges is they have to be selling it, but I haven't confirmed that yet. But I did ask the question. I go, can my client be subject to the amusement tax or the lease tax? I think lease tax is probably less likely, but can my client be subject to an amusement tax, having to collect tax on the revenue for access to the platform? But if they meet the other criteria and there's a social aspect to it and there's user-generated features and they're collecting data and selling it, can they also be subject to the social media tax? And that I did get an answer to, and the answer was yes.
Interesting. Well, Drew, you've certainly helped us understand where we are. And you've also done a lot to identify issues and questions that are going to have to be answered. And I know you've been working with the city of Chicago. So I suspect we're going to have to do a reprise on some of these matters as we hear more about the implementation from the city. So I want to thank you very much for joining us and helping us work through this tax. And we look forward to having you back in the future to go through it further, Drew. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Harry. I look forward to it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we'll keep joining us for future podcasts.